week's episode.
Aw, yeah. This is There Will Be Porn with Kate and Murda.
Hello, and welcome to There Will Be Porn. This is a podcast about pornography where normally we recap AVN's top 100 adult films of all time from the 80s and 90s. Uh-oh, I'm alone. Why is that? Well, that's because we're at part two of the June Pride edition of La Dolce Vita, where we watched the most expensive gay film porn of all time. Meredith and I, at this point in part two of this episode, are about to recap the second half of this 2.5 hour porn movie. If you haven't listened to part one, listen, it's a porn. So like, it's not like you're missing, you know, the greatest, recap of Beowulf, where if you didn't listen to part one, you're not going to know what happens to the hero. Basically, this porn takes place in New York City. The main character is this guy, Michael Lucas, who's a terrible human, but he does have a giant penis, and he cheats on his boyfriend. He's a famous writer, former novelist, who's friends with fashion designers and wealthy people, and, you know, in the opening of part two is interviewing or doing a story on some famous people. That's truly all you need to know, friends. There's a lot of sex in part two. We had a lot of fun. The recap is really fun. The jingle for the recap, you're going to enjoy. Here it is. Love you all. Kisses. The porn recaps.
Gay recap.
Or gay caps.
Porn recap. Pride edition.
Take us to the next 2.5 hours of our lives. But not really, listeners. We would never do that to you. We just did it to ourselves. This half compared to the first half is fucking insane.
Oh, yeah.
The second half is fucking crazy.
Yeah, the first half, I would say,
feels
very normal, but also half. Like a lot of it didn't. My favorite sex scenes were the first sex scene and the threesome, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So my favorite sex scenes happened in the first part, but the storyline of that first part really didn't need to be there.
It sets
up nothing.
It sets up nothing
except for the fact that guess they could have just cut straight to the point of him coming home, having an argument with his boyfriend, and also knowing that he's a writer. Like, I figured that out, that he was a writer pretty early on.
I mean, Meredith, there's a lot of editing that should have happened, but also we were watching the director's cut.
Ooh, and so boy, we did that we
to ourselves. Okay.
So we enter the second part.
Yeah.
We see two celebrities in their bathrobes sitting, being interviewed. Like, they are the hottest piece of ass in town, and it's like they just woke up from having sex all night, and they're like, oh yes, please come into our room. But I think their name is Ralph and Nicole, or yeah, Rick and Nicole.
Ralph and Nicole. You didn't catch the names of the reporters?
There's Heather Weather
is here from KCCR6.
She's the same recurring
when are you guys getting married.
She's their same recurring like media figure and
right,
all
right, she's
the
one who asked
scenes
about the Islamic writing,
Jay Bond earlier. Yeah, yeah. And then is at the end as well.
Yeah.
So the rest of the press leave, but he's spending the day with them.
Wait, but also Ralph flashes them.
Well, yeah. So
he stands up.
Yeah, everyone leaves, and so does Nicole, or she steps away somewhere, and Ralph heads to the bathroom and takes his robe off and shows his hot bod to Max.
Mm-hmm.
And is like, so
he's like, I have a sexy body.
Well, it just leaves a lot of questions. Like, what's going on? Is this a Tom Cruise situation?
Ooh.
Or is it like that she really truly doesn't know that he's gay?
Exactly.
But don't worry, guys. Like, there's not a lot of
explanation.
There's not a lot of explanation because they quickly reveal that he is in fact gay.
Yeah, they do. First, and how do they do that? By going to Marc Jacobs.
Well, they go shopping for a very long time. There's a montage of Max and them going shopping, and then they end up at a fucking gay strip club. Like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And he's clearly making eyes at one of the dancers.
Yes,
and
a go-go dancer.
Yes,
with the little underwear on.
Yes. And mm-hmm. he's, while Nicole is looking away, he gives a bodyguard like a wad of cash and is like, go acquire him for me.
Go get him.
Purchase him, please.
The one dancing. I want that one.
Yeah. But it's like Nicole is clearly eventually get a like idea of what's going on. They walk away. And Nicole asks Max at some point, why is he doing this to me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
She knows. She's seen the signs.
I'm like, why would you go to a gay club? Like, why would you?
Have you seen Rocket Man?
No.
Oh my God, you have to see it.
Okay.
It's kind of, this happens in the movie.
Right.
But like the movie is way better than this movie.
Right.
But basically it's like this woman, like, because I think gay men, you know, or maybe they're not fully gay. They're like slightly bisexual. In this case, he obviously was hiding his sexuality, but like, it's not like they're incapable of having sex with women.
Well,
he's lying to her. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's what I find annoying. It's like she went to a gay,
club with him. That is true.
So why would, when she like, then her reaction is, why does he do this to me? I'm like, what is it that he's doing to you? You seem like you know what's happening here.
Because why did they invite a reporter with them to just chill out at a gay club?
Well, because he's gay and maybe they just thought he'd be comfortable there or something.
But why is he even with them? You know, like invite the paparazzi. Like, we're going to go over to a friend's birthday party. Do you want to come? Like, people don't do that.
Well, anyway, Ralph walks away.
Yeah.
He gets a private room mm-hmm. with that dancer dude.
The go-go dancer.
And Nicole and Max are all like, oh, God. And Nicole walks up and is like, I want in there. And the bodyguard is like, no.
You can't go in there.
And they just like, I think, leave. And but we get to see these two guys fuck.
Yes, we do. So, Ralph and the go-go dancer. Two people that we've yet to see naked, and now they're getting naked.
Yep, they're getting naked. We get a night, you know, we get... you know, here's the other thing I kind of discovered from this porn.
Sure.
I mean, there is a little bit of variety, but generally, I mean, obviously you get a threesome action, like all bets are off.
Crazy.
But
yes.
Just on like just two male scenes, two male actors, it always starts with a blowjob.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Then you get a close zoom in shot of spread butthole.
Yeah.
Like spit, lubed on.
It's very similar to straight porn.
You see a lot of people pull out lube, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, me too.
You see the act of the lube being taken out and used.
On their D. Also, did you notice that the go-go dancer had an anal plug in his underwear?
I did not know that.
It was sewn into his underwear.
Nice.
I saw it. I was like, is that a tail? And then I saw it was like an anal, like a little anal
I did
plug
not.
Balls.
Amazing.
Yeah. Cool. I was like, great prep. Also, I love that he was dancing with it in. Like,
yeah.
Like hot.
Yeah.
Hot.
And I think he was, I don't know. I like their use of like the bench in this scene. They like stand over and like suck each other's dicks. Oh. They do like a missionary anal situation with his legs over his head over
that.
The booth. Mm-hmm. And I think it eventually just comes on a stomach and it's like, it's nothing. This one is a sex scene I would have skipped.
Pretty much for the first 20 to 30 minutes of the sex scene, Ralph still had on his button-up shirt and blazer, but no pants. It was just unbuttoned.
Yeah.
He was unbuttoned blazer and blazer. Like a suit.
Yep.
But no pants.
Well, we already...
Is this a callback to J-Bond's fashion show?
You wouldn't have caught that.
You just need a suit top. You wouldn't need a suit bottom.
You wouldn't have caught that.
You're right. I wouldn't have known that. For you, because you watched it in the correct order, you were like, this is the new style brought in by J-Bond. Everybody this season is wearing dicks out, blazer up. And you're right. You're right. Anyway, go on. They have sex.
They have sex. They come in each other. It's a great old, grand old time.
They come real hard.
We then exit the club and get our Max and Nicole strolling around New York City.
Yeah.
Just enjoying a lovely night.
Yeah.
Getting to know each other.
I've done this.
Asking questions off the record, you know, off just really record. Being friends. And I guess they try to relate to each other. And sure. Then she asks him, like, I guess he asks her what she thinks of him.
Yeah.
And she just like also similar to the other scene where it's, where'd you get your inspiration from this collection? He's like, art, literature, culture, trash cans, you know,
everywhere, just the air breathes to me art.
She's like, intelligent, you're smart, intelligent,
deep, interesting,
and
sad. Just a little sad.
And he's like, oh, you think so? And she's like, yeah. And then they just start asking each other about like their preferences. Like, she's like, do you fuck women? And he goes, occasionally.
I have,
and I do if they're really beautiful, but they have to be very special.
Right.
And so then she definitely starts flirting with him. Like, I feel like as a challenge, like, oh, like I'm,
yeah, like, I could like be what about that me? Special woman.
And then I'm thinking they're walking around Madison Square Park.
Yeah.
Because then they like jump into a fountain. I think that.
So this is in La Dolce Vita, the original Fellini film.
The swimming and the, I've never seen the movie.
The blonde woman gets into, she like goes crazy and jumps into the fountain and like kind of loses her mind. And he goes in and gets her and it's very romantic.
And they kiss.
Yeah.
Michael Lucas and Nicole, or Max Todd and Nicole, kiss in the scene. And that's it. And then they walk back to her hotel.
Makes no
and
sense.
Apparently violent fiance Ralph is there waiting for them and getting real pissed and decides to try and punch him in the face. I have no idea.
He's the one who left.
But they do it in front of the paparazzi.
Scandal.
So maybe they're just trying to get some, you know, cause a ruckus.
Yeah, I don't know.
Get some hits.
Yeah.
Get on some picks.
Listen, these two are not important. Nothing else happens with them in the story.
They're not.
They just appear and then they disappear. What is La Dolce? Anyway, go on. I'm looking up what La Dolce Vita is about because I haven't seen it in a long time. And I forget the plot.
Yeah, I've never seen it. But okay, next scene, we go to a party.
Yeah.
At Preston's house.
Yes.
And accompanying Max to the party is Corey, his boyfriend.
His boyfriend. And they're not on good terms, but they love each other.
Well, he...
Maybe.
He seems excited to introduce him to like a whole bunch of like media industry people.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like pointing a whole bunch of people out because obviously he just finished his first manuscript. And did you hear what he said in this scene? Corey asks Max, why do they all look like unhappy rabbits?
Yeah. That was weird.
Weird question. What does that mean?
It was translated from Russian. Maybe a saying in Russian.
Is it communism?
It's a communism
thing. Is it like a KGB code word?
KGBs are rabbits, right? They're always unhappy. So it's like, why do they always look like unhappy rabbits?
Oh, wow.
That's what that means. Why are the KGB unhappy? They should be happy. They're in charge.
It's true.
It's a lot.
You're right.
There.
I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
This is also like the glorifying of Max really happens in this scene for me too, because they're all like, he's a really brilliant writer and like, you should just finish your book. And like, your book was so amazing. And like, you should be doing something better than working at that magazine. Like you should be a better, that was like really the glorifying of this dude was really annoying to me. Cause I'm like, he's fine.
Yeah.
Like, he's clearly just living his life. Like he doesn't seem like any creative genius. He just happens to know a lot of people and gets to fuck a lot of people. Like
he does a very good blue steel.
Yes. Yeah. He's like got a lot of Botox, this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. So you can't really make a lot of emotions on his face.
No, but he can suck a dick.
He really can.
Yes. Botox helps with that.
So basically what happens at this party is like at some point Max walks away.
Yes. That goes into a room to go to
sleep? I don't know where he's going.
I don't know.
I thought he also was like maybe trying to Irish exit, kind of.
Meredith, I don't know.
But he walks away and Corey and whoever he's talking to, one of the literary guys, they share a kiss.
They start kissing.
And then they exit the party without telling Max, leaves him behind.
They left.
And they go to Corey goes to this new guy's apartment. Did you catch his name at all?
No. And I watched the beginning.
Here's
thoroughly.
What I'm going to call him. Mr. Girthman.
Because he's got that big old dick.
He had a very...
Yeah, he had a massive...
Girthy...
Massive penis. Dick.
I mean, like, it was almost...
Dick's out.
It was almost a two-hander. Like, definitely the guy who used it, like, could not hold the dick with one hand.
Oh, Jesus.
Could not go all the
Can't
way around circumference.
It. It's too big.
It was very large. I was impressed. I don't know about you.
No, I was also impressed.
So
also, it was massive.
I was like,
just,
whoa.
There's a lot of big dicks around lately.
You're just like,
in this
fine.
Movie, you're just like, God, there's so many dicks.
It's true. And he actually gives him like some pretty good deep. There's like some very intense deep throating, I think, that happens in this scene,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed by that. Because of his big old bean. Yeah. There's a lot of things that happen. Like Corey gets on top, like, you know, like he's sitting on a couch and he gets on top of him and I love a good,
penetration like, chat,
good hot dung and some buns action. Like I love
they
that.
They did like a little run through. That is cute.
They do that a couple of times, like humping
damn
that
it,
way.
Meredith, now I'm hungry and I truly want a hot dog.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
You should really just have hot dogs on hand. I know you like hot dogs.
I have some veggie hot dogs in the fridge.
There you go.
And some hot dog buns.
Oh, look at you.
You
want to
have some after?
Sure. Let's boil them up.
Can we slap each other in the face with our hot dogs first?
I'll definitely rub it in between your buns a little bit.
Yeah. And then we'll put our sweet squirty all over it.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as mustard.
I would love that.
That's what I call mustard, sweet squirty.
It's not sweet usually, unless you
Listen,
have honey
don't
mustard.
Don't judge me.
I didn't judge.
First,
you.
It's people who don't have anuses. Now it's that I call my mustard sweet squirty. You're the
Sorry.
Most judgmental person I know.
I know, Meredith E. Mean.
I'm Meredith E. Mean.
That's me.
It's true.
So anyway, we get some of that butt. That fun butt in between the buns action.
Buns.
And eventually they do start, they have also a very fun, some anal angles.
Yes.
They're very good.
Yes.
I mean, they just start with doggy, but then he like basically gets on reverse cowgirl, like on, and it's like very fun. And I'm like, that is actually great. Like you have like a lot of room to play with yourself at the same time.
Yeah. And you have control over what your butt's doing.
It's a great time.
Like a great time. Yeah. I was into it as well.
I really liked it, but I just need to also point out that the random guy, literary guy, unknown literary named man.
Yes.
Had a belly button tattoo.
The big giant dick man? Okay. I missed it. What was
he had a
belly button
tattoo. It was like a sun.
Oh, like a sun around his belly? You mean like back in the 90s when people would get...
It just makes your belly button look so massive.
I forgot like you have that those
pit.
Existed.
Like you have a pit.
I forgot that people got
stomach.
Those fucking things. Oh my
Weird.
God.
Not a good idea.
Oh man.
Terrible idea.
Truly awful. I hope my tattoos don't look bad someday. Separate issue. Anyway. I just hope they don't look like fucking tribal tattoos. Okay.
Okay. Next, anyway, they have like some missionary and then they come on each other's stomach and they kiss sensually and it's over. Oh. There's so much sensual kissing.
Yeah, all these men are very nice to each other.
It's very
all
like
these boys are good boys.
They're very gentle.
They're good boys.
Then we see Max. He's working hard at Touche. He is working hard at Touche magazine, and they're like, deadlines. And he's like, do not worry, I got this, guys.
Corporate lighting, shuffling of paper, copy machine phone in the
ringing,
background.
Phone ringing. But yeah, someone does keep calling him, and he's just like ignoring.
He's writing.
He's got a deadline. But eventually, he comes in. I'm assuming his editor, Mitchell, comes in to tell him that his friend Preston Connors will be arrested at noon for having sex with a minor. And he has to break this story. He's the most brilliant. He's the most talented, and he is the most well-connected to write this story. And he's like, you have to do it. You have to do it. Someone has to get this out.
This editor, Mitchell.
Yes.
Graduated from the Royal Academy of Arts. Yes. This editor, he was like, you're the most talented. I'm doing Meryl Streep right now.
Yes.
You're the most talented. You're the most connected. You're the only writer who needs to do the job. And then he has little 90s glasses on. He takes them off. Woof. I need a good reporter. God damn it. I was floored by the commitment. And meanwhile, Max is like, okay. It's like Keanu Reeves and Patrick Stewart were in the same room.
It's true.
It was amazing. I loved the glasses. God damn it. I also just watched Spotlight recently, and it reminded me a lot of that.
It's really
Journalism
good.
Is hard.
Journalism is hard, and
we're doing it right now by reporting this to you.
This is very hard.
Tell me about Asia.
Anyway.
Communism.
I love that this guy's really trying to convince him to do it. And so he goes to see Preston and ask him, how could you? How did this happen? Who was it? And he was like,
it's okay. I have a problem. I flew too close to the sun and I fell too hard. And
I melted my wax wings.
I had to come back down.
Yeah.
I need to go. And he's like, take me, please. I love it when he's getting arrested. He like the last thing he said to him, he's like, success or failure, it's your choice.
It's your choice.
So they walk down together.
Everybody is telling Max to write his book and stopping so lazy.
Yes. they walked down together. Preston gets in the cop car. Max walks off, and they're like, Preston, did you do this? And then they're also like, Preston, did you really do that to that little boy? And
you
then
a child molester.
And then all of a sudden they turn to Max, and like, Max, are you gonna break the story? And I'm like, what
story? You're
also
here.
Like, he's
dummies.
Also pressed too.
Yeah,
that's what's so weird. Is like he's pressed too, but he's also like, I don't know. It's very bizarre. And so he walks off and he heads home, and then we get this like classic writer montage with like a sudden burst of inspiration, but also like he has to drink through the inspiration. Like he has to be a messed up, like he has to be tortured about this. It can't be easy.
No, he can't.
It can't be too easy. And mm-hmm. I was thinking like, oh, maybe he's going to write a whole story, like a whole book
like
a whole book piece. About this and not just a piece. And then I realized, oh no, he's really just writing the news article. That's literally it.
Yeah.
Which could have been not that long.
Did you see he titled it though? The Fall of Icarus. You stupid Max. It's fine.
It's very like ridiculous. And so he's like very tortured about this. And you know what?
So
like if you're really sad, I don't know about you, but like if I'm really
sad. If you're really sad, yeah.
I just like to go for a long walk in the city.
Right.
In my suit.
Yep.
And then like maybe go out and look for strange.
This time you have pants on.
And like
you have tux top and bottom.
Yeah. I want to maybe like go out and look
for
some strange.
You
want to
lose your bottom. Right? Yeah. Yeah. You want to be in tux top, no bottom.
And I want to, yes. And I want to bust some myths
bust
tonight.
Bust some myths tonight.
I want to bust some myths.
We're going to bust some myths tonight.
Uh-huh. He first just goes to a regular gay bar.
Right. That's not enough.
It's not enough. And he comes out stumbling drunk. And also,
yeah.
Guess who sees him come in and out of that gay bar? Jay Bond's employee, little blondie, who also said fun things like, oh, hell yeah. And, oh, yeah.
Give it to me, Deep.
So.
You give it to me, Deep. Your mom's Deep. Baby. Oh, mother.
So don't you forget about him.
No, I haven't.
Back.
I will never forget about him.
And he follows Max to a sex club that is definitely a speakeasy sex club.
It is just men, lots of gross naked men. Amazing.
And, I mean, everyone there
grimy.
Is fucking.
Everyone's fucking everyone.
And if you're not fucking,
bodies
you're masturbating to people fucking.
Everywhere. Everyone's no top, no bottom, no tuxedo night.
Yes. Huh. And they're all on pedestals.
Well, they got to be somewhere.
They're all fucking on pedestals.
On the floor.
There is individual pedestals for your fucking pleasure,
for your
and everyone gets
pleasure.
One.
Have you seen the movie Shame with Michael Fassbender?
No.
He goes into a place like this, and it is hot, 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 because he is hot, 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 hot.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I haven't seen it. I know. It's a blind spot.
Yeah,
also,
you'll
just
because
I want to see, you know, some naked Michael Fassbender.
I mean, do see his dick.
I would love to see that.
It's a lot like this movie, actually, that movie.
It's true.
There's women
it's like,
in it.
It's true. This movie.
Yes.
Shame is based on.
That's
La
right.
Dolce Vita.
That's right. You are absolutely
communism
correct.
Communism and shame.
And shame. Well, communism came first. So shame. But shame
communism
absolutely
always comes first.
Stole the idea for shame. Whoever the director was, I'm looking it up right now, stole the idea from shame by watching Michael Lucas's La Dolce Vita. So you're not fooling us. We watched the whole thing.
I think it's Alexander McQueen.
Steve McQueen. Steve McQueen definitely saw this movie.
I knew it was McQueen.
Yes. He watched it. He saw it and he was like, this would be good, except I'm going to put
less sex,
hot people in
but
it.
Hot people.
I'm going to do straight and gay sex and I'm going to, but show less dick, a little bit less sex, but like more, less fashion actually, but more sense. I'm going to put a script in here that makes some sense.
I think it's very likely, and I can't wait to watch Shame now.
It's going
to be great, and it's probably less than 3.
Unfortunately, you're going to know everything that happens because
you've
probably
seen this movie. Less than 3.5 hours.
It is, but
so
you,
I'm pretty stoked
nothing will
on
be
that.
New, Meredith, because you've already seen it all.
Well, it's true.
It's exactly the same, except with Michael Fassbender.
I also there's a couple of things I like about this scene. Like our main character is just obviously looking for some strange and to fuck
and to
bust
fuck
some
away
myths.
His feelings.
He wants to fuck some boys' feelings away too.
Yes.
And not boy. Oh, I'm
not
sorry.
Underage.
I did it to you. You inceptioned my brain.
You.
True. So anyway, these when he's first entering the club, he's going through a hallway where a whole bunch of guys are not having sex or just like leaning against the wall.
Yeah.
And they all reach out and touch his stomach, like try and kind of like proposition him.
Yeah.
And I do like the scene of him just like walking through like, you're not what I want. You're not for me. You're not like he's like knows what he's looking for.
It's powerful.
And so he ends up like kind of, it seems like near the end of the club altogether. And there's two. And these are also like the two. There's two pedestals there.
Yes.
And both of these guys are fully naked and like really fucking. Like they're really going at it.
Yeah.
Because some people are
walked into their porn.
Right. Because some of the scenes, like some of the areas you're just like getting like a little bit of like BJ or they're just starting to like kind of touch each other, but they're fully nude.
Right.
So this guy, this is where like the hardcore shit's happening. And he's like, this is what I need. So he starts taking his dick out, starts touching himself.
And you know that these men who are already having sex saw that big old dong and they were like, yep, get that in here. We're calling an audible.
Yes.
We need that.
Well, and also there's also, I don't know if it's like actual recording of this scene or like ADR afterwards, but there is a lot of gagging in this scene.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, that was kind of a lot to listen to. But also,
I was
like,
listening to it with headphones on and I took them off.
Yeah. But the truth is about this entire movie is it's pretty tame. And like, if I just get a little bit of gagging, this was a very successful gay porn movie for me. It was very easy.
Me too.
We both were, I think I was, I've seen gay sex scenes before, and they've usually been more aggressive than anything that was in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very easy to watch. So
yeah.
So a little bit of gagging, I will forgive it.
Uh-huh.
It was totally fine. So like I said, Max took his dick out. So then, you know, what comes next? BJ. You always got to go in with a BJ. And then we get a nice little 69.
That's how you bring the dick into the room.
And then there's like six. And then, you know, the other thing about their 69 is it's not just always, you always get 69 with like a little bit of Rimmies. Like,
yes.
You know?
Yes. You get Rimmies and suckies with your 69.
You get it all.
It's like a combo platter.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
And finally, too, while like they're 69ing, we see the blonde walk in.
Yes.
And
this is like 30 minutes later. We're skipping a lot of orgy.
I'm getting to it.
Please. Yes.
I'm getting to it. It's just, let's get through it.
Yeah.
Seeing he starts fucking him doggy style. And then they do like an anal shoulder stand, basically, where he like puts his legs up in the air. And then there's like missionary anal. And then and then the guy comes on himself. Like, I think this might be one of the few scenes where there like actually is active anal and then come on your stomach. Like, a lot of times people have been pulling out before everyone come.
Yeah.
And then like finishing up with just them masturbating them, like touching themselves.
Right.
Finishing themselves. And this was like, I was like, oh, I like this. And like, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more. And Max comes on his stomach too, whatever. But it's, the funny thing is that the blondie is standing on the side the whole time, and he's like, I'm going to finish watching this. And then basically when they're making out and like, you know, rubbing each other's cum in each other's stomach.
They give each other bedtime kisses.
right when they're about to do that.
They're about to tuck each other.
The blonde snaps a picture of him, and I'm assuming to like give to his boss, J Bond.
Yeah, to be like, look, he wasn't writing the story. He was in an orgy house.
Well, wait, you mean to his boss or did not? You mean to J-Bond?
Oh, I thought he was going to give it to.
Wouldn't he give it to like to J-Bond as like blackmail himself?
Yes. Yeah. Are you thinking about like what would happen in Michael Lucas's La Dolce Vita 2?
Yes.
You know what? You're right. The J-Bond represents America.
Yeah.
Capitalism. Well, superficial.
And the truth is like
consumer culture, fashion. Well, what is more consumer than fashion, Meredith?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing. And then like you after this, like he walks around in Times Square and then he goes home and guess what? Corey moved out.
Corey packed
his bags.
And
now he's all alone. And like Max Todd has no one.
Yeah, he did it to himself.
He's,
I think,
truly sad. And you know what?
What?
La Dolce Vita, I guess.
I guess La Dolce Vita. I guess that's it. Oh, well, we hope you are having a little La Dolce Vita, listeners, with this experience. It was great. I had a blast.
Yeah.
I didn't masturbate, mainly because I was just in complete awe that this movie was so fucking long, and I didn't have time to masturbate because I have things to do with my life. But I would, I think, in the future.
I masturbated.
Good for you.
I found it very hot.
It was very sexy.
I say this already? I want more people and I want more men in my life to have sex with each other. I want more.
You said that outright, but you've been insinuating it this entire time. Yeah.
I think it would just make everyone's life more fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down. Men out there, listen. We women, for decades now, have been having sex with each other in secret because we hate you. And sometimes we'll do it in front of the camera to get your attention. At least that's what you think. Secretly, we love it because we hate you. Here's what you should do. Love your body. Love each other. Experience other men. And maybe you'll give us a fucking break.
It's true.
You know?
It's true.
And if we could watch, that'd also be chill. You've been watching us. The end from Caitlin. There's so much like consent and understanding.
That's it. Right.
And everyone like, knows what does.
And I think it's also like, okay, so here's.
Not to say that hetero sex is bad or that that men and women don't like each other, but I haven't seen it lately in any porn.
Okay, here's a very thinky.
Oh, I'm here.
Process of how my brain thinks and why I think both of these versions, like why girl on girl and guy porns are very, like I'm into it.
Okay.
Because one, like partially for me, why I like girl on girl is because I can relate to those orgasms. Like I can relate to their feelings. I think it's just very easy for me to be like, I need a little bit of like projecting that I understand what's happened. Like I can understand the feeling of the porn.
So you can relate to these orgasms.
I can relate to what's happening. I can relate to the feeling and the touches and all of the sensations that happen when you touch that spot.
Yeah, I got
you. You touch that button.
We get it.
Now, yeah. I think it guy on guy is a reflection of that feeling. It's that these two men also understand how each other's bodies work.
Layered empathy.
So they, yes, exactly. They have an empathetic, they can like understand each other's bodies better than even like I as a woman could.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very hot to watch them just like get into each other's bodies and like really enjoy it.
You know what else I love about gay porn now that I've watched it is the amount of time that is spent on butt licking.
Yes.
Butt licking feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good. Have it done to you once. Feel a little comfortable with someone you trust, but have it done to you. It feels fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know, sit on a cold toilet every once in a while. I'll do it. Toilet seat. Things feel good on your butt. Okay? Go back in time to our first episode. You'll learn that things feel good on my butthole. Okay? And the actors, the porn actors, when they're getting their butthole touched, often we see like women getting their vagina touched and they have a very lackluster reaction.
Right.
And I can identify that because I, as someone with a vagina, I know that every time someone touches my vagina, it doesn't, like sometimes it's fine and sometimes it's great. And sometimes I don't even know there's anything down
right.
there. So, but there's something about the way each one of these actors react to their butt being touched that you know they're feeling. Because of all those nerve endings.
Yep.
And they just react like, oh, my butt. And I feel it in my butt when I see it. I feel it in my butt. And I know what it's like to have my butt touched. God damn it, it's good.
Yeah.
Everybody touch each other's butts.
Yeah.
Go touch out butts. There.
Go touch butts.
Ask, say, may I touch your butt, sir, ma'am, person? And they'll say, yes, you can touch my butt. And then you just, everybody just.
Just touch your butt.
Touch each other's butts. That's all. That's why I found it really hot.
I think that's a good enough reason.
Oh.
He made this whole movie.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Couldn't have been made without him.
Well, listeners, T-Dub listeners, our friends, our porners that you are, our sweet, sweet baby boys out there. So if you want to follow us or talk to us or give us porn suggestions, you can do that at There Will Be PRN because you cannot spell porn on the internet on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us at twbdpodcast@gmail.com. And Meredith, is there anything else?
Just, you know, probably the most important thing, rate and subscribe, please.
Oh, give us a rating.
I would love one.
Give me a 5-star rating and suggest a porn in it.
I would love it if someone.
And we will watch it.
Any one person rated our podcast.
If one person wrote 5 stars, just touch one, each other's butts.
Listen, I know.
I will find you and I like, will it's touch not, your butt.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like, like you
Meredith,
guys.
Don't cry.
There's not
You're
no.
You're making Meredith cry.
There's
listeners.
Not like no one listening to this podcast. Like, I know there's not a lot of people, but there's not one.
They love us. They're just, maybe they're ashamed. You know, it is a porn podcast.
I would
give
just,
them time to open up to us. They're training their outer sphincter.
You're right. They're breaking myths.
Breaking, they're busting myths every day. They're it's bustling. All right. Meredith, cheers to a happy ending.
Cheers to a happy ending. You know what a happy ending would be? Another review.